The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Was it a visitor from another world? A natural phenomenon? Or just the world's most elaborate birdbath? We dive into this outback swamp saga where the UFOs are as mysterious as the Aussie wildlife. From George Pedley's hissing UFO, or was it just an overheated tractor? To the perfectly swirled reed formations that could give crop circles a run for their money, we've got it all. So settle in, grab your Vegemite, and get ready for some extraterrestrial shenanigans from the land down under this week on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a Down Under edition of Hysteria 51.
Cheese muffin.
That's a
cheese muffin.
Love a drop there, Kyle.
Thanks, boss.
Yeah, he is really good at dropping things.
What are you bitching about now?
That idiot dropped lube all over my chronoharmonic unification device when all he was supposed to be doing is lubricating the flange points.
So your assistant got lube all over your chud.
Exactly.
I knew it.
Oh, I get the joke, you dumbass. But this is no time for joking. He has set back my plans by weeks.
If this turns out to be some sex toy, I'm going to be very disappointed. Maybe not.
All right, on the sex toy note, welcome in, everyone. And I hope you're as terrified as I am. I'm Brent Hand. He's David Flora.
Yep.
And the bots are here. So that makes this Hysteria 51.
If you're new to the show, welcome. Brent here built C-Bot to help with the show, but lately, all he's been doing is helping himself with his chud.
Chronoharmonic unification device.
That's what I said. Yeah. Hell, I've barely seen him making batches of bot booze the past few weeks.
Yeah, whatever he's working on is taking priority for sure. And speaking of priorities, we do have a guest to introduce. So you probably, if you listen to the first of the show, you probably got a pretty good idea who the returning chump this week is.
His name is...
Kevin Crispin.
Woo! Kevin. Hey, welcome I heard, thank you, David. I heard there's some flange points that need lubricant.
Flan. It looks good, but it never tastes good.
No.
Flan.
Well, it certainly is spelled wrong.
In Hispanic countries, it's flong.
Flong.
Well, I'm here to lubricate whatever it is.
You can lubricate.
God
spited or smited that joke away
from
me.
Yes, he did. And let that be a lesson to you.
Probably out of spite. Yeah.
Yeah. Did the lightning bolt send you at all?
Yeah, we'll see. David, what have you been up to, sir?
Hi.
Hey.
Getting ready. March is going to have two shows for the old theater company. And it's starting to gear up.
What shows?
We're doing Peter Pan
for
the kids, for the children.
And then a different version for the adults.
And Pan's Peter for the adults, yeah. And then we're doing All in the Timing. So it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Is Mary Martin playing Peter Pan?
She is not. We do have a, I think they're a freshman in high school who looks... Like, if when you picture Peter Pan, you picture this kid.
When you picture Peter, you think of this kid. You heard it here first, folks. David Flora, when you picture Peter, think of a child.
Now, are you directing both those, David?
I am playing Hook in Peter Pan.
Ooh.
And I am doing the tech for All in the Timing.
Gotcha. Oh, you'd be a good Captain Hook.
Hook's a
thank you.
Hook's afraid of a dead old croc.
Mainly because you look a lot like Dustin Hoffman.
I'll send you pictures.
Oh, please do.
This time, making sure it's about what we're talking about.
Yeah. But God damn it.
And some will be about Hook.
Because I'll block you again.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, you bastards. Well, we're talking about the birth. We're not talking about Captain Hook, unfortunately. We're talking about the birth of crop circles, even though it wasn't exactly a crop. It was a circle this week. Are you guys ready?
I guess, after that stunning introduction.
Yeah. You like that?
I don't know. I'd pump the brakes on whether or not it was crop.
Yeah, that's what I said. What the
big load of crop?
What the crop? Uh-oh.
I thought you were going to say the birth of Christ, and I was like, I think I got the wrong outline.
The birth of cropsy.
No, you got the right one.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go. We're going to dive in feet first on an incredibly foggy morning in January, the year of our Lord 1966. Inner one banana farmer George Pedley. He farms bananas.
I bet he did.
And Kevin's laughing already.
I mean, just go on. Go on.
Banana farmer.
It's like
I told him my own. It's like I'm laughing at my own joke when he's on here.
Well, it is funny.
So he's from Uramo. I think I'm saying that right. Near Tully, which is, if you're in the know, it's basically Australia's UFO hotspot.
Hmm.
And he was moseying along on a tractor. David, you mosey along quite a bit, correct?
Yeah, when the need arises, mostly.
You're a moseyer.
I enjoy it.
Do you find yourself moseying or just dilly-dallying?
I like to chantay.
Ooh. What about sachet?
No. Now I feel like a fucking
sachet.
Idiot.
Sachet. That's what it is. Sachet? Chantay is a chantay. Singer.
Yeah, sachet is a performing artist. Sachet is how I walked into this studio today when I heard that flanges needed lubed.
Yeah, and flan was on the menu.
Flan. Yes,
so.
Flan was on the menu.
You lube my flange and you can flan all over yourself.
And Jesus flan. Christ.
All right. And we're canceled. I didn't even know you could do that. Suddenly, old Georgie Porgy, he heard what he thought was the world's angriest tea kettle. Now but that's what he said. It kind of sounded like a big old tea kettle, loud ear-piercing hissing, you know, just like a, because it's probably one of them steam-powered steampunk UFOs that we're
right,
talking
or
about.
It was Angela Lansbury.
That makes sense.
Yes, probably. That's where I went.
Are you serious?
I was going to say your Sweeney Todd was in the area.
Ah, oh my God. Nice. And now Brent makes the Lynn Carey you joke.
We've people go recently. I've got a couple emails like, wow, you guys really talk about theater.
Is that why I've been invited back on?
Probably. So this guy, this thing though, I thought he's moseying along on a tractor. This hiss was so loud it drowned out the tractor.
Wow.
So George figures he's blown a tire or some shit. Like, you know, you hear that and you're like, or God forbid, like a radiator if it wasn't.
Or he hit a banana. Or,
yeah, you know. One of those slippery banana peels. So he stops to check, and just like you hear about daily, instead of a flat, he saw a flying saucer zipping away from his lagoon.
Oh boy, that old chestnut!
It's a tale as old as time, you know. And we could stop there.
Please do,
but we won't.
Oh,
yeah, we won't. We got more hysteria to spread as we break down this case, and we're gonna be back to do that after this break. But I just gotta tell you. Do you guys enjoy the idea of crop circles, or is this just like a meh to you guys?
I find it fascinating. I don't know a ton about it. The only thing I really know about it, I learned from two things. This podcast and then Waiting for Guffman.
Night Shyamalan.
No, fuck that motherfucker. Signs is not a good movie. Anyway, that is my feelings. Yeah, shots fired.
You heard it here first.
That's right.
You heard it here first, folks.
It's like one of his best.
Yeah, and actually, right? Hey, swing away. Swing away, Joaquin Phoenix. All right, well, we're going to break this down a little bit. I'm sipping my, I didn't realize, unsweetened iced tea, so it tastes like, well, unsweetened iced tea, unfortunately. We're going to go to break. We come back. More Pedley shenanigans and moseying on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have, both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, let's break this down a little bit. David, if you will, tell us about the area and what's going on in this whole crop circle shenanigan flap business, as they like. This was the start of a flap. Do you know what a flap is?
No, tell me more.
A whole bunch of shit happened at once. A flap. It's not as exciting as it sounds.
No, it isn't.
Oh, it's like sex with David. You get excited. Never mind. Anyway, David.
Hey.
Break this down, if you will.
Well, Brent, Tully, as you mentioned earlier, is located in far north Queensland, Australia. It was predominantly a sugarcane farming area in the 1960s.
So he's a badass bucking the local standards farming
with
bananas.
The bananas. Don't bring up the banana farming. Yeah. I might start losing it.
Taste of the banana.
The town was small and relatively isolated with a close-knit community, as you pretty much have to be when you're so remote.
Yeah, no shit.
This geographic isolation played a role in how the event was perceived, both locally and nationally.
That sounds like you're saying a nice way to be like, people were like, hillbillies are
condescension is what that is.
I like the way you put that. Keep going. Sorry.
Well, in the 1960s, Australia, like much of the Western world, was experiencing a heightened interest in UFOs.
Yeah.
Now, there are many reasons for this. We have covered a lot of them in our other episodes of Hysteria 51. But
probably on this other show, I've heard of Blurry something or other.
Blurry,
so they probably talked about
hysteria?
It. Yeah, that's it. Blurry.
That's it. Sad blurry.
Blurry
hysteria?
Pictures.
Blurry. Can you write pictures, it down for me?
I will.
I'm never going to remember that. This part was is partly influenced by the Cold War era's focus on space and the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, Nick.
The world had UFO and space fever.
Yeah,
wasn't
that's
just, you know,
really
that
true.
Thing that was well, right, the crux of a Twilight Zone episode.
This is 66, and you know, and the U.S. went to the moon in 69.
Yeah, right, you fucking plebe. Next thing you know, you're going to say you even believe in the moon.
Oh, yeah. No. I know that those tides are caused by something else.
No, I'm teasing. Yeah. Really was. Like, the... We'll go to the moon and do the other thing. I'm not sure what the other thing is, but we're going to do it.
Certainly not invade Cuba.
Yeah, that verbatim. Yeah, like sci-fi was everywhere. Mm. You went from Westerns on television to Spurries. Everyone was kind of really had space fever, like you said, really true. And in this context, the Tully event was not just a local curiosity, but it was part of the larger global fascination, I guess, with extraterrestrial life. And people started looking up and seeing more and more of this stuff all over the planet.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that is because it's in the cultural zeitgeist or because they were really showing up that much more often?
Cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah, I think the implication here might be the zeitgeist.
Yeah. I don't know. So you guys are saying that you don't believe the thousands upon thousands of people that's awesome.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm saying. And, you know, this is a scant decade after all the stuff in ufology kicked up with the naming of them as saucers and
47,
Roswell.
47 was Roswell, and that was the jumping off point. And then you dumb bastards think this isn't true every speck of it. I'm embarrassed.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you know.
Thanks for keeping eye contact the whole time you said that, Brent.
So that's the stage. We've said it. Let's get to the encounter. Inner one, George Pedley. We already told you about him. He was 28-year-old. What was he again? Now, what was his his?
Well,
I can't remember what he did for a living.
A banana farmer, Brent.
Kevin, sorry, they were just bananas, and he wasn't a banana hammock farmer.
I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to mean, Seabot. That's not nice. Man, that motherfucker.
This one's a size medium. The crop's really a bumper one this year. I don't know if it's a bumper crop, but he keeps bumping into them. Anyway, George later tell reporters that he was frigid with fright as he saw this UFO, and then it vanished in a snazzy puff of blue vapor.
Snazzy puff? Did he refer to the puff as snazzy?
I might have thrown that in.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to rule it out.
Ah, that reminds me. Okay. It's well, as long as it's snazzy.
Then he, so we've already had Mosey. We've had Dilly. He tiptoed over to where it was all had found, you know, or where it had seen it.
What?
And he tiptoed over to where he'd seen the UFO.
Oh, okay.
All right. And boom, he's got not your everyday flying saucer debris, like, you know, physical pieces like in 47, you know, of that. No, it's a giant nest like swirl 9 meters across in his lagoon's reeds.
That's 27 feet, I believe.
Yeah, it's not a tiny
no, that's pretty fucking
nest.
Big. Yeah.
So that's a big sandhill crane that he mistook for this. Kevin, if you ever need to blame anything on anything, just say it was a sandhill crane, and most people go like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
How many times have you used that, David?
Plenty. Every time I drive across the country, I just drive through a flock of them. Nebraska is the capital of them. And then I drive 3 hours to like the major city near me, and there's always a field full of them around that direction. It's weird.
It's actual Mothman on rally, but he's just like, look at those sandhill cranes.
They're in training, I think.
Son of a bitch. I saw that sandhill crane and the bridge fell behind me, but it was just a sandhill crane. I wouldn't worry about
it. Minor league Mothman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. George described the object he saw as being light gray, like hot galvanized iron. I would have thought that hot galvanized iron would have been red, but...
after the red.
Oh, and slightly convex.
Can't
on top.
What I read.
So it's
slightly convex top,
bit. So it's like
it's like a little
dome.
I guess so, or like, you know, like I think of every flying saucer you probably heard of in the 1960s,
mm-hmm. or saw in an Ed Wood movie in the 1950s.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, doesn't that sound like what he's talking about to you, or do you see something else?
That's what it looks
like.
To
the room,
like to
not everyone at the same time.
Everybody was very nervous. That's what it sounds like to me. You know, I again, I'm seeing like these old sci-fi gray flying saucers with the boop pop. That's my boop.
Now, if it had been on fire like in Plan 9 from Outer Space at the end, we'd have a lot more fun with it. Did the dead raise
they're, I think the aliens are just big fans of trouble.
Trouble, talking about trouble. Trouble with a capital T. I see
it's trouble in the city,
bubble that they fly in.
The pop-o-matic bubble. How are we going to keep the kids from losing all these die? Oh, I got an idea.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The trouble, the game? With a pop-o-matic bubble.
That fucking thing. Okay.
The only game he had as a child, and the only one he was allowed to play with was Mr. Bucket.
Well, Mr. Bucket. I mean,
the balls
Kevin mentioned earlier the theater connection. The triforce of theater that we've got here, and oh Brent immediately went to Music Man.
That's true.
I've brought in shame onto my house.
You know, the Beatles covered a song from the Music Man.
Oh, well, then.
Shut up.
I didn't say anything rude. Right, that was rude of you.
Paperback Writer.
Yep, Paperback Writer. You know that song.
Pop-o-matic bubble. All right, well.
76 trombones.
And one drummer. But one less guitarist. He estimated its speed at 300 miles per hour. As it extended, that is my next question. How the fuck do you know in 1966 it went at about 300 miles per hour?
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't that seem weird to you?
I don't know how he knows that, because how fast is that fucking tractor going? 8?
Didn't they still think that women's wombs would be ripped out of their bodies at that speed or something?
Yeah. We're going to start calling him Pedley Lamar. They were,
People, of a certain age are like, motherfucker, I lived through the 60s. We didn't think anything like that. Shut the fuck up.
That was the 50s, you dumbass. They were worried that if they went too fast, like it might have horrible effects on the body.
Oh.
Like, yeah, and women's...
was an argument against trains.
Yeah. They don't have the constitution for it, I tell you, Floyd. I don't know why his name's Floyd.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably using the same arguments against electric cars now.
By God!
Probably.
The women can't stand it.
Yeah, that.
Next thing you know, they're going to want to vote.
Oh, God.
Hysteria!
51.
Speaking of women, then, I was talking about Plan 9 from Outer Space earlier. Have you guys seen that?
Yes.
Yeah.
The UFOs come and they raise the dead. Well, there's the vampire woman in it, and if you watch the credits, it says vampire woman played by Vampyra.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not Vampira. Just a clever name.
Yeah. Vampyra. Bela Lugosi and Vampyra.
And Bela Lugosi's body double, who often had, or the, every time had his cape in front of his mouth.
Blah. Good stuff. So, Pedley Lamar, he reported no signs of life around the object.
Pedley.
No windows, no doors, no other sound except for the hissing sound. Like it was, you know, a tea kettle type thing.
Sounds like a locked room mystery here.
Uh-oh. Where will we ever figure out the next clue? This case, it was different than many because it did have some leftover evidence. Ooh. Usually you just have some guy like, I seen it. Well, this one left a circular area of flattened reeds all over the grass, all laying in a clockwise pattern. And this was investigated by a lot of people. Experts who later looked at it and looked at the site noted the reeds weren't broken, but rather bent at the base as if the object had significant force from above. And that is something... we see a lot in crop circles.
Right.
It's bent, not broken, or intertwined into one another.
Which is very fascinating to me because that takes a precision that not just slamming it and breaking it would be.
You know? Right. And the water within the circle was reportedly warmer than in the surrounding area. That's definitely warmer. I like to think he
pissed himself.
Well, if I'm going to be here, I might as well
get on my hands and knees and lick the water.
Do you think he put his mouth in or he put it into his hands and drank from his hands?
I think, well, the way that your sound effect was doing, I think he put his mouth
in. Get the fuck out of here.
All right, I'll see you guys. Can I have the lube?
I know, crop circles in general.
Can
you know,
take this with me?
They're just such a weird thing, you know? The interesting part is this is where a lot of investigations after... George did. They came there because of the crop circles, you know, and we're going to get into theories and the like after the next break, but this stands out because the guy came forward. There was evidence. And there's quite a bit of evidence of investigation into this evidence done, which we're going to talk about. But do you guys chalk stuff up like this to honest to goodness, I don't know? Or do you immediately go to hoax when you hear this guy saw a crop circle and he called it in?
I mean, I want to go to hoax, but, you know, since I've been a subscriber to Hysteria 51, I also know that hoaxes don't exist and this is all real. All of it.
I know, we're
except for the moon landing. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I go to hoax, but then I'm like, what is the kernel of truth in it?
Right. You know, or maybe hoax or mistaken identity, or not identity.
I don't know,
but
that you can mistake a crop circle.
The hell you is know what that? I mean?
Somebody shows up. That's obviously a square, motherfucker.
Yeah, this is a crop. This is a crop rhombus. Anyway, I don't know, man. I've always said this before. When I started, I had a way more open mind. And when I started back in the day with John and he believed nothing, somewhere along the line, we kind of met in the middle to where I'm like, probably not, but we'll look into it. And he's like, maybe, but, you know, we'll look into it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a good way to be. So you're not falling out of your head to agree or disagree with anything. But prove it to me. You know, beyond reasonable doubt, and that's why you know, you take it to court.
I think crop circles, as I said before, are very fascinating.
Yeah.
And whether it's a hoax or not, it's a pretty cool hoax if it's a hoax.
Yeah. And then there's also crom circles, which are like stigmata on your body if you worship crom.
Crom. Crom circles.
You won't help me, crom.
Fuck the nice shape screw. Of rhombi. Is it rhombi or rhombi?
How do you pray to crom? He's go, fuck you, crom. Hey, crom.
Hey, crom. Fuck
you. Go fuck yourself.
And then you
Crom
die.
Don't care.
He's like,
it's what everybody's gotta remember.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna go to break. When we come back, less Crom, more Hysteria 51. Probably.
More crop.
Less Crom.
Less more Crom circles.
Okay, that's fine. Well, and which are the shape of a rhombus?
Kevin's the chosen one. He has the rhombuses on his penis.
Wait, how did you see that?
Turns out they're just sores.
Oh, I didn't wear any pants.
Son of a bitch.
Shit, I forgot.
Damn. All right. Well, I was looking at this, and on a lot of different pages, they have a lot of different information, but one of them, and I'm trying to find which one was it. 3X Strange. Strange, strange, strange is a website. they was doing a breakdown, and he did an overview at the bottom of this, and I liked it. And he does it for a lot of his things. So what was it? It was a close encounter of the second kind. A second kind for
so
those
no
of you
Richard
playing
Dreyfuss?
Home. I'm Richard Dreyfuss.
Damn it.
Jaws.
I was just trying to find some aliens here.
Oh, man. So then we saw a dead body.
Remember when I was farming bananas? In Queensland? Damn it.
Man, I think
we're gonna need a bigger banana boat.
What are the size and dimensions of a rhombus?
So a second kind, thank you very much. A UFO that leaves some physical traits, burns on the ground, broken branches, you know, broken banana trees,
broken hearts.
Aww.
You're right. When is credibility good? Because this guy had was good, upstanding person.
Damn and, right you he know, was.
Number of witnesses, only one that really saw it.
Yeah.
What evidence? Well, there was ground markings.
Crop circle
and,
kind
yeah. Physical evidence, well, it was the same as the only evidence was the said ground markings. And it was officially investigated by the Royal Australian Air Force, so that gave it a little bit of credence.
RAF.
Wow.
The RAF came out and said, we're going to riff this RAF. Inner said RAF. If you will, Sir David, tell us about that.
The RAAF was notified of the Tully saucer nest incident soon after. We haven't talked about this being a nest yet.
Well, it's right? a nest because, you know, it nestled into the ground and made a little nest on the ground.
Nest soon is the root word of after. Nestle.
What?
Nest is the nest. Wow. Nest is the root word of nestle. Thank you.
That's
not
right.
Nestle.
Nestle.
Screw Nestle. So anyways, they showed up soon after Mr. Pedley reported his sighting. Now, given the Cold War era and a heightened interest in UFOs, the RAF was actively interested in any reports of unusual aerial phenomena or UAPs.
Yeah, if you're playing along now.
Yeah,
the old UAPs.
Kevin just raised his hand. I want to just let you know, Kevin just raised his hand.
I did.
Yes, Kevin.
Sorry.
Yes.
Can't see that.
I just.
I know.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Yeah, yes, you may. You done?
I'm done. Thank you.
Anyways, they got busy and deployed personnel from the nearby base to investigate the incident.
Uh-huh.
Where was this nearby base? Nobody knows. This team was likely composed of officers with experience in aircraft identification and analysis, or perhaps janitors. We're not sure.
Yeah, it's lacking some of the information out there on this, but they know that they sent them in, and I'd like to think that they sent, you know, officers, not janitors.
And they showed up and they said, this thing appears to have gone 300 miles an hour. And Pedley goes, that's what I fucking said.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
No, he said it. How would he have said it, David?
Damn it. This thing went 300 miles an hour.
I completely forgot I was going for an Australian. What is an Australian?
What? Australian Richard Dreyfuss?
Yeah.
Crikey. Australian Richard Dreyfuss. Richard Dreyfuss here. Yeah, crikey! It went 300 miles an hour!
How come you still whine when you're down under, Richard?
I ain't got no Vegemite! Oh, David,
because they broke me banana trees!
Do you remember when I made you try Vegemite, David?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. One does not soon forget.
Oh, it was.
What exactly is Vegemite again?
I got more downstairs.
No,
thanks. It. You want to try it?
No.
It's brewer's yeast, which it tastes like salty beef bouillon, and it's the consistency of thick, thick peanut butter.
All right, maybe I'll try it.
And it's saltier than your favorite banana. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, right. Anyway, yeah. Doesn't matter who was in the planes.
Yeah. Yeah.
they get to examining things. So what are the on-site investigation steps they took? They examined the nest, this famous nest that, you know, we've just, I don't know, it was put on
of a big
post-hoc. The primary focus was the examination of the circular impression in the swamp,
yep,
which Pedley had associated with the UFO sighting.
That's right where it was.
Then they got to collecting the physical evidence. So they documented the site, they measured the diameter of the circle, noted the pattern of the flattened reeds, and examined any other physical evidence. They likely took photographs and possibly samples of the vegetation and soil for analysis. I mean, we don't know for sure. It's mostly a sealed case.
That's one of those stuff where they go, yeah, we looked into it, but they don't really tell you.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You don't worry about it. We got it figured out. You go back to bed. They brought in a clock, and they watched the clock for 1 hour and said, okay, this is in the clockwise direction.
It never changed. Yeah. It's weird.
Well, it's the Coriolis effect, so it'd go in the other way from us. So.
Son of a bitch. Let's go flush a turlet. Let's go watch it.
Did you say Coriolanus? Is this another Shakespeare? Is this a theater?
Just
show?
Coriolis. Yeah, oh, no I'm anus sorry, involved bad. In this one.
No anus? Oh.
Cori's areola.
They then conducted interviews. A crucial part of the investigation was interviewing George Pedley and any other potential witnesses, of which there were none. Detailed questioning about the sighting, the behavior of the object, any other relevant observations.
You know, they did look into, like, did anyone call the police and they saw anything in the sky, stuff like this. No one saw it there, but I'm sure there's other people that had reported seeing things in the sky. And it wasn't a just one and done as far as seeing things. This was the only one where they saw it on the ground and left an indentation, yeah, but this started the flap of seeing things in that area like crazy.
And the follow-up question is, would you say that puff was snazzy?
Puff the snazzy blue vapor trailed the UFO.
It took off at 300 miles an hour, and it was so snazzy. So, their report, which is sealed...
It's not sealed per se, but just we don't have a lot of the information.
Well, they apparently suggested a possible natural cause, but they didn't get into the specifics of it, right? So no matter what, the raft's involvement lent an air of credibility and seriousness to the Tully saucer nest case. So that in turn fueled ongoing public and media interest.
The Air Force is there, so something's going on.
What did that? How did that go over, Brent?
It went over like gangbusters because everyone knew that we were fucking being invaded. That's just how it goes. Now, this really took off in fever, you know, frenzy, one might even call it. Mm. You know, it heralded the start of the worldwide phenomenon of modern crop circles, with reports in subsequent years as far away as the U.S., Japan, southern England, which we've gotten a ton of them down there. And what began as a simple, I mean, really, they were just circles. That's where it comes from. They morphed into intricate patterns, QR codes mysteriously appearing in a wide range of crops.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, this is the Applebee's menu.
Drink chocolatey Ovaltine. It's a fucking ad. The plot and the Ovaltine thickened in 91. Yeah, as far as the
Vegemite.
Yeah, like as far as the crop circle plot, two pranksters, Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley, who we talked about in our crop circles episode on here, they admitted they've been crafting these circles for kicks. And they said it was inspired by Tully's own reedy rendition of a crop circle. And they're like, we can do that. Get me some boards and some string or rope. And that's how they did it.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know if you guys know, but there's a word for this. Cereologists. Those are crop circle scientists, not cereal experts.
Oh.
Interesting enough, cereal experts are called cryptologists. So
that works out.
Yeah. They still swear that some circles are genuine alien, autographs, or whatever you call it. Some have been reported to, they weren't there, they turned around, they were there. Or they were so intricate, no one could have done it. And there was, we were only gone a little bit, and now there's this giant field. You go listen to that episode. We break down quite a bit of it. There's actually a lot of science to it that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Like believe it or not, like some of the way the bulbs on some of them, they expand. Uh-huh. So like there may be like at least some of the circles could almost have I'm searching for what I'm trying to say here, like something is causing it naturally that we just don't fully understand.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Not when like it's like, eat a Joe's and there's an arrow, that's probably, but why? Here's the big question. Why would advanced extraterrestrials cross the galaxy to play, art class in some farmer's field and then bail without a hello, waiting for us to come forward? I mean, could it be like tagging like they do with animals? That's kind of terrifying that instead of putting something in our ear, they're putting something,
Oh, they know where to go back to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it from their ships? We just understand the science, like the propulsion system. Like he said, it laid down there and, is it magnetism or, how do magnets work? ICP can figure it out and I'll be goddamned if we can.
Well, if ICP can, I don't even want to try.
ICP can?
Can't.
What do you guys think? Like, why, if it was naturally, if it's UFOs and extraterrestrials doing it, why do you think they would leave crop circles?
Well, obviously it's to communicate with the awakened and initiated among us. The ones who get it or need to get it will get it.
This is somewhere in some house. Richard Dreyfuss is like, leave me alone. I'm so awakened. That and that woman that talked. What was the alien that talked to that woman that we were supposed to talk to, but we never could hear it?
Bashar. I don't know.
I never remember.
The angel Uriel.
Man, yeah.
Going back to your question, what if the Earth is their paper and this is their the way they write is with crop circles?
What's their rock and scissor?
How do they ever decide anything?
Look, they're looking at it. They're looking at the fucking crop circle. They don't realize that's where we jump our chem toilets. It's like a Dave Matthews Band from space just dumping shit all over us.
What would you say?
We took a shit in a fucking field out in Europe in England a few dozen centuries ago, and they worship it now. It's very fucking weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, I needed to have a movement. I don't know. What really made the Tully circles.
I think we've covered it. The UFO did.
Well, some people say there were many tornadoes or like, you know, like funnel spouts. There was water that there.
Stayed exactly still.
It just stood there. Yeah. Though I have been in a ball diamond field playing, you know, Little League and seen them like stand there and you got that one dirty kid who's trying to run through it.
Pigpen?
Yeah. Or Gary, whatever his name was.
Gary.
Some people say it was like an unusual animal rave in 2012. Get this. Some Tasmania crop circles turn out to be wallabies had ingested opium and wandered in a daze in loops. And
is that right?
Yeah. And it had trampled down the fields.
All right, I'm going to go with the wallabies on opium. That's my theory.
If
on
you
most
can,
things.
Always go with wallabies on opium.
Yes.
Maybe not aliens then, unless they're into wallaby opium parties, but I submit who the fuck isn't.
I sure am.
Noted, and I respect you for once for that.
I still don't.
So what the hell was it? Well, inner botanists and other scientists, they examined the site. One theory, it's a prominent theory. That gas rising from decomposing organic matter at the bottom of the swamp, because remember this was in reeds and could have created like a whirlwind, a swirling.
Wow.
Lifting and swirling.
Went the swamp gas on this.
Swamp gas.
Do you think botanists and seriologists like have a mutual respect or a mutual disdain?
I like to think that it's like the sharks and the jets. And there's a lot of finger clapping and snapping when they're around one another.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So I hope you guys realize swamp gas doesn't fully explain the uniformity and precision of the circles.
Hmm.
Also, some people felt that it was a funnel that popped up, like you said. It could have been a weird feather. None of this really checks all the boxes. The one that checks all the boxes, what is it?
Extraterrestrials.
You goddamn right.
Yeah.
Some UFO researchers, they've hypothesized circle exactly what George said it was. Landing pad imprint.
Hey, when you're visiting, this is where you land in Queensland. Okay.
And then boom, over the few years following, they're all over the place.
All over the place. Yeah, right. Sorry. Wow.
No matter what caused them. Various newspapers, radio, TV, they all jumped on it. And no surprise in a range of tones from serious to more sensationalized reports, but just like we have to this day with way more evidence in cases like we're seeing off of like the Nimitz case, they still make fun of it on the news when they're coming out and NASA's going like, oh man, that could be from another world. They go, back to you, Bob. You know, it's like, it's hard to take anything seriously, I guess. Does that bother you, David?
ETs control the media.
Son of a bitch. That just feels right. That just feels right.
If they're so playing the long game, man.
Here's your
getting
new
in your
opinion.
Heads. Damn it.
I don't know. The way they look at it, there's more evidence in some cases, less in others. This one had some, and it wasn't a one and done. You know, they did keep coming around. They enough to be called a flap of reports throughout the years following the 66 event. And the interest
sightings.
Kept sightings
or circles,
both things in the air, things on the ground. Not this was the main one because it was the first one and it was both. I saw something, it lifted up,
seen it, felt it.
Yep. Yeah. In the public eye, it contributed to ongoing speculation and investigation. We're, you know, 2024 and we're talking on this shitty podcast. And,
even good ones talk about it, Brent.
Well, that is true. And I thank you for straightening me out. But there's books, there's documentaries, there's articles all on this. And it holds a place in not only Australian UFO lore, but, you know, the historical UFO lore and sightings, because this was a jumping off point for a flap, for crop circles, for everything. This is one that maybe isn't as fun as others, but it's an important one nonetheless.
I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah, well, you know, anytime you can, you know, guesstimate speed, you're in.
That's right. Hell yeah. On a banana farm, no less.
You know.
I got a question, Brent.
Yeah.
Have you seen any photos of this?
No. Let me look at this. So, funny you ask. When you look it up, if you go to Google and you hit images, there are pictures of the reeds and there's pictures of them standing near it. They're so hard to make out. You know what you're looking at.
You give me a half old Milwaukee's best and a couple draws off that doobie. We'll make out all night.
There are pictures. I don't want to say no. There are pictures, but to say that you can look at them and make out other than it looks like a circle and reeds, that's a little harder to say. And then if you keep scrolling, you're going to see all sorts of fun, you know, crazy shapes and colors and stuff. But this was a granddaddy.
Do you guys remember, isn't there like a spot in Australia that's kind of famous for its UFO sightings?
Yeah, totally.
You know how, well, I'm saying like, you know how Brown Mountain in, is it North Carolina? One of the Carolinas is famous for having sightings of UFOs and stuff. There's a place down there in Australia too. I'm trying to think of where the hot spot is there.
Well, there was the Westall UFO thing was huge there.
Green Mountain?
Is it Green Mountain? That sounds...
I'm just making that up.
No, he's just talking shit.
No, there. Well, I think there is a Green Mountain something.
There's a Stone Mountain, Georgia. That's where Jake the Snake's anyway, from.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think there's Green a Mountains hot spot. I was just going to ask you if this was near that or not.
That I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know how far from Westall.
Jeeves? Did somebody ask Jeeves? Apparently Westall's in Melbourne, so that's quite a ways.
Yeah. So this thing's been investigated extensively. There's no conclusive explanation. And so there's not, you know, nothing is universally accepted. The precision and uniformity of the circle combined with the lack of definitive causes is really what keeps this in the realm of the unexplained and in the realm of people want to talk about it, because this is the thing that kicked it off. And it remains fascinating. It's a case study in UFO research and a testament to enduring human interest in the mission of the sky. Or maybe it was just a case of Seabot was drunk and he had his hang low out and was spinning in circles. Weirder things have happened.
Did you say hang low?
Yeah, he's got a hang low.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Pray you never have to see it.
Every night before I go to bed, I
pray. It's a fun one, and it's also a meh one to me.
It's fun because of whatever it is, maybe this being the granddaddy of them.
I think that's why it's fun to me, you know, but also I'm like, meh.
The precision, though, that let's just say it's a prank, like that Doug and Dave or whatever that morning show duo was.
No, those are Canadian beer drinkers.
Oh yes. The McKenzie. You hoser.
Dropped my Elsinore beer and it just made all these reeds go in a circle.
Well, they did it precisely. The precision of it is what fascinates me.
Your precision fascinates me every time. Mm. And now...
Kevin leaves.
The last thought from Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, gee, I don't know. I don't have time to think about UFOs and reeds that are bent. Damn it!
Pass me my mashed potatoes!
I'll show you Green Mountain. So, Richard Dreyfuss, real fast, why are you always so pissed off?
Why aren't you pissed off? That's the question everybody needs to be asking themselves.
Well,
damn it!
I'm pissed off because you just answered my question with a question. All right, you know what? I'm done, Richard Dreyfuss.
Well, too bad somebody's on a different level than you, Kevin!
Yeah. I submit you can never really be done with Richard Dreyfuss.
That's very true.
Richard Dreyfuss is a philosopher. Get over it!
Man, I think we're going to need a bigger podcast. All right, kids. Well, this has been the Tully Saucer Nest Flap Extravaganza, the Pedley Lamar's Waiting Reads, I don't know, Outback Oddity, whatever you want to call it. If you want to tell us more about it, you had your own sauce. If you got reads, I want to see them. Email them to us, weird@hysteria51.com. And also, while you're doing that, send us your weird news, your articles. If you've had an experience, type it out in English, if possible. Send that in, too. Maybe we'll read that. And you can always look us up on Facebook, Hysteria51. It has its own group on there, Hysteria Nation. Just go to Facebook and look for the group Hysteria Nation. You can also find us on Patreon, patreon.com/stair51. Get all these episodes without ads for $1. and Blurry Photos is out there kicking. Sad Times Podcast is out there kicking.
Sad Times, baby.
You can go to sadtimespodcast.com and not learn about Richard Dreyfuss or
yes, we have a strict no crop circles,
so you can skip that pod.
Yeah.
That whole site is what I'm getting at.
No, please don't.
I'm Richard Dreyfuss. Anyway, thank you guys for kicking in and yeah. and solving this because you know
we did. We solved it.
With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
I've been Kevin.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.